Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We've been discussing Romans 12, 14, and 21. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If we have an honest, heartfelt concern for the spiritual welfare and development of other Christians and of other men and women in the world, we will make an honest effort to return good for evil. For it is only through this type of attitude within us that God's Holy Spirit can lead men and women to repentance by the goodness of God, which they see manifested by the personality of Christ that dwells within us. Concerning those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, oddly enough, religionists before conversion have always been our greatest persecutors. Our greatest persecutors are not necessarily those men and women who are without Christ and who are atheists and agnostics. Our greatest persecutors have always been religionists who, before their conversion, have persecuted us in an unmerciful manner. The Apostle Paul was a tremendous religionist, a man who was an Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee taught by Gamaliel, a man who was perhaps better schooled in the law and in the traditions and customs of the fathers than any man in Israel. Yet before his conversion, he persecuted those who were righteous, and he persecuted them for righteousness' sake. We find in Acts 26:11 this account. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Today, most of the ones who persecute Baptists, true Baptists, are those in false religions. And many of the great wars, even in today's time, are fought over religionist grounds. I'm afraid that it has not changed much from the Apostle Paul's day. Most of our heaviest persecution comes from false religionists. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This same Apostle Paul, who as a religionist so fiercely persecuted God's people, is found with a quite different attitude in 1 Corinthians 4, 11 through 13. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The awareness that the kingdom of heaven was a permanent abiding possession of the Apostle Paul was the strengthening source that God's Spirit led him to suffer the persecution, no matter how severe it might have been pressed against him. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Apostle Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, give us an insight into the true purpose that persecution, having been accomplished, is able to expose in the open the manifest body of Jesus Christ. Paul writing in 2 Corinthians 4, 9 through 11, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Persecuted but not forsaken. In all of Paul's persecution, in all of our persecutions, we need to instantly recognize and realize with each persecution that that same abiding Spirit of Christ who loved us and gave himself for us is living within us to give us the strength to endure the persecution, to return good for evil, and to manifest forth not our own personality, which withers and falls away in times of persecution, but the personality of Christ, which was strong even unto death, and to let Christ take control of our lives in those times and periods of persecution, so that by our conduct, which carries us through situations that normal men and women cannot go through, we might manifest to the world the personality, the attitude, the outlook of Jesus Christ. Paul continues, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. In verse 10, he says that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In verse 11, he says that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Persecuted but not forsaken. When in our daily lives and our weekly lives and our monthly lives and our yearly conduct, in every persecution that arises, if we will let the Spirit of Christ that lives within us through the realization in our minds and heart that he is there, lead us through these times when others would fall away, and when the persecution would become so intense that it could not be endured. But when we endure by the Spirit of Christ within us, they will see the life of Jesus manifest in our body. They will see the life of Jesus made manifest, outwardly visible to those who observe us in our everyday lives and who can see Christ dwelling in us through our mortal flesh. No matter how intense the persecution, no matter how severe it may be, as we bear about in our body the awareness that Jesus died for us and that his suffering was paramount to all suffering, then we ourselves can let the world see Jesus Christ in us as the attitude that he had toward the Father. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, that even as the Beatitudes teach of the attitudes that should be in us, we will let this attitude be in us, that there is no persecution through which we cannot endure, if we will simply realize that we are not forsaken and that the same God who was with Christ is also with us in the person of Jesus Christ who dwells spiritually within our hearts. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecution must be accepted as a consequence of living a daily life. It must be accepted. Persecution must be accepted as a consequence of living a godly life. In 2 Timothy 3:10 through 12, these words are written by the Apostle Paul, written to a young man of whom Paul was concerned. Paul was about to die and he knew it. And yet his concern was for this young man and for the future work that he would do for the Lord in his flesh. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Persecutions. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Persecuted, but not forsaken. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Paul was a happy man, even in death. He was a happy man in a Roman dungeon because he endured the persecutions that were placed against him by the realization that the Christ who lived within him would never leave him nor forsake him. And he allowed the persecution for righteousness' sake to be manifested for the honor and glory of God, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in his body, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in his mortal flesh. If we think that in this dispensation of time in which we live, we have been relieved of that responsibility, and that Paul was some man whom we cannot emulate, then, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have missed the whole point of our salvation. Because 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So let's make up our minds that since all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, that as we attempt to live our lives in a Christ-like godly fashion, that we must suffer persecution. And being made the victims of persecution, let us not succumb to it, but let us recognize that if we will, by the Spirit of Christ within us, allow him to carry us through every trial, persecution, every single temptation of life, that others will see that there is a difference, and they will understand that the difference is Christ living in us. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The weight of our persecution drives us to Christ in our weakness to deliver ourselves, and his strength sustains us. The weight of our persecutions drives us to Christ in our weakness to deliver ourselves, and his strength sustains us. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul illuminates this principle. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The weight of our persecutions drives us to Christ in our weakness to deliver ourselves, and his strength sustains us. One of the purposes of persecution is to show us how pitifully weak we are in the flesh. Our spirits are willing, but our flesh is weak. And when we are at our very weakest, and when we cry out to God to deliver us from the persecution, it is only then, when we rely totally and completely in Christ, that we are strong, and we are strong in Christ Jesus. Persecuted, but not forsaken. When we recognize and turn to Christ within us, who will never leave us nor forsake us, then our strength is as the strength of a million, for it is the strength of Christ Jesus that we manifest as he leads us through every persecution. Our strength becomes mature only when we see that we have none and must rely upon the power of Christ. Our strength becomes mature only when we see that we have none and must rely upon the power of Christ. Paul illuminates this principle in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Our strength becomes mature only when we see that we have none and must rely upon the power of Christ. I came forth from my mother's womb totally depraved, without spiritual strength. When Christ Jesus came to live in my heart by faith, he became the only strength that I have. When I seek to solve my deliverance, to perform my deliverance, by my own physical cunning and strength, I invariably fail because I have no strength. I was born without spiritual strength, and the only spiritual strength I have now is the personality and spirit of Christ dwelling inside me. Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Our strength becomes mature only when we see that we have none and must rely upon the power of Christ. I believe I understand what Paul meant as he wrote in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." There is nothing good in this man who speaks to you this moment except the Spirit of Christ. I was born totally corrupt. I am still totally corrupt. But by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, there is a new spirit within me. There is a new life. There is a new power. When I acknowledge my own inability to solve a particular situation, and I turn to Christ for counsel and guidance and wisdom and direction from his word and by his spirit, then the strength that I manifest is not my own, but the strength of Christ. And I honestly believe that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now let us continue with the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, is the theme of the Beatitudes. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In all of our trials and persecutions as Christians, we need to constantly look back at the Old Testament saints. And as we look back, we need to observe what carried them through: the assurance by the Spirit of a hope of great riches and joy to come. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In all of our trials and persecutions as Christians, we need to constantly look back at the Old Testament saints. And as we look back, we need to observe what carried them through: the assurance by the Spirit of a hope of great riches and joy to come. This principle is taught in 1 Peter 4:12 through 19. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. The fiery trial which is to try you. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. The fiery trial which is to try you. I thank God that even though I am totally depraved, he has placed the spirit of his Son within me, and that though he himself does not tempt me, he allows me to be tried. I thank God for the fiery trials that have come in my life, because it is out of these fiery trials, out of these persecutions, out of these false accusations, that most of my spiritual growth has been obtained. We cannot learn patience except through tribulation. We cannot learn how to deal with the accusations of men except by the Spirit and power of Christ. I am beloved. I no longer think it strange concerning the fiery trials of my life. I do not think it is some strange thing that happened to me. It is to be expected. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. It is quite possible to go through this entire life with only the spiritual joy and assurance that Jesus Christ will one day give you a great reward in heaven. And it is the only way that a man or woman can consistently rejoice in Christ, by looking forward to the things that God has for them in heaven. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I would be a liar if I said that in the flesh I joyed continually. I have great sadness in my flesh because of the thing that lives in my flesh. But I have a great internal joy and peace and satisfaction in my soul and in my spirit by the power of Christ, because he has made me great and exceeding promises in heaven. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's affairs. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. We have every reason, in the midst of tremendous persecution, tremendous testimony against our witness, tremendous put-downs in our lives, to glorify God as we suffer as Christians, because great is our reward in heaven. We have every reason for an internal joy and happiness in our soul and our spirit because of the persecutions we suffer in the flesh. Continuing in 1 Peter 4, 17 onward. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? God makes the point here that he's going to judge his own children first. And if he judges us for our conduct, what is he going to do to those whom he does not judge in this life for their conduct? And for those who do not even obey the gospel of God and come to Christ as we have come to Christ. And if we are saved totally and completely by the mercy of God and by the skin of our teeth by faith in Christ, where shall those who have not accepted Christ appear? Our persecutions, our trials, the evil things that are spoken against us, are a very small pittance compared to the tremendous agony and pain and suffering of an eternity in hell for those who obey not the gospel of God. We ought to look upon our persecutions, the evil things that men say against us, the false accusations they make, as an opportunity to be glad with exceeding joy, as an opportunity to glorify God. For our trials and our tribulations, when compared with those trials and tribulations and the eternal damnation and punishment that face those who persecute us in such a way, we ought to thank God that we are not among that group and that we can suffer so small a persecution and so small a price for being called children of God. Continuing in 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I thank God that my Creator is faithful. I wish I were, but I am not. But I thank God that I have the absolute stable rock of all creation, God Almighty himself, who is always faithful and who has never been unfaithful to keep any promise that he has ever made. I am perfectly willing to commit the keeping of my soul to him as unto one who will never leave me nor forsake me, a faithful Creator. Now, this being the case, I have an obligation to God to commit that keeping to him in well-doing, not in evil, but in well-doing. And as I suffer according to the will of God, I ought to commit my soul to him with that spirit and attitude that it is a part of being a child of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad as unto a faithful Creator, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 9, verses 24 through 26, we find an account of this persecution of the prophets that were before us. We need to look back at them and consider their fate. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took the strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards, and olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat, and were filled, and became fat, and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Today, children of God are blessed in this country as they have never been blessed in all of man's history. They eat, they're filled, they have become fat. They have every modern convenience that man can possibly conceive. But I am afraid that in verse 26 of Nehemiah 9, 24 through 26, we see the consequences of the good life. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you, and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. Today, we children of God consider great persecution, great trials and great tribulations when our air conditioning in our car goes out, or when some little something comes up that involves a financial difficulty. We consider trials and tribulations what the Israelites and the prophets would have considered blessings. The prophets were killed for what they testified. We Missionary Baptist preachers have not yet resisted unto blood. We are not being killed for what we preach. We consider persecution not having things going right in the church just like we want. We look upon all these trials and tribulations that we have, and we cry and we moan and we scream and we complain about them, and we act like we are the most persecuted men of all the ages. And nothing could be further from the truth. We have not yet resisted unto blood. We ought to thank God for what we have. We ought to be content with it. And we ought to look back upon these prophets and recognize that we are not exposed to anything that closely approximates the persecutions that they endured. Let's take a look now at Acts 7, 51 through 54. Continuing on the theme, "For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." In Acts 7, 51 through 54. The preaching of Stephen. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been now the betrayers and murderers. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." Notice their reaction to the truth. "But when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." When we Missionary Baptist preachers get to the point where our church congregations rush forward and gnash upon us with our teeth, and when we Missionary Baptists get to the point where whenever we tell people about Christ and the truths concerning him, that people begin to bite us, and when they carry us out and stone us to death, then I think we can truly say that we have suffered persecution. But until that time, we need to recognize that the persecution that we suffer today is but a small drop in a great deep bucket of water compared to the tremendous suffering that those prophets before us experienced. Let's take a very careful look now at Hebrews 11, 35 through 40. Hebrews 11, 35 through 40. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." We really think we have it rough. Do we have it this rough? "Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God provided his son's sacrifice on Calvary's cross for our sins. He gave us an example of the supreme suffering that he himself personally manifested in the flesh of a living man would demonstrate before us as a supreme example of suffering for sin. He paid the full and complete price for our sins. We ought to be happy. Happy are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. We ought to rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is our reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I thank God for the prophets before us. I thank God for their perfect example of suffering. And I thank God for Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God means to lay aside any obstacle, including persecution, that would stop us from running the race. And the sin of neglect, of lack of concern, the sin of not being willing to endure those things that God has set before us in the race, let us run with patience through all the trials and persecutions and tribulations, patiently enduring them, realizing that at the end of the course, we will stand face to face with that same Christ who gave his life for us upon Calvary's cross. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Brothers and sisters in Christ, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for Christ's sake. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now listen very carefully to verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. How thankful I am to God that I live in a country that he has provided, where I do not have to suffer these things that the prophets suffered. But even though I live in a land of fat and plenty, I need to recognize that no matter what persecution, whether it be physiological, psychological, or physical, spiritual, whatever, that any type of persecution that comes against me, from the slightest to the greatest form, that I have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And I ought to look unto Jesus, who is both the author, the beginner, and finisher of my faith. And I ought to recognize that persecutions and trials and tribulations are an opportunity that God has given me to manifest forth the personality of his Son and to maintain the characteristics that he maintained through all these sufferings by the power of Christ that lives within me. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. In Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, these words are recorded. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Even though they did not receive the promises, they saw them afar off. They were not nearsighted. They did not just see the world around them. They looked afar off and spiritually saw these great rewards that God had for them. They were exceeding glad. for great was their reward in heaven. They were persuaded of them. They didn't just see them as something that was a possibility. They were persuaded of them. They actually believed them. And they believed them so much that they embraced them. They drew them to themselves, and they became a living part of their thinking and their actions. The attitudes that were in them were the same beatitudes that Christ taught to the first New Testament church, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They did not look upon this land, this earth, as their permanent fixed abode. They openly professed and confessed that this was merely a place they were passing through. They endured the persecutions. They endured the false testimony against them. They endured even being killed. They endured all these things because they believed that their citizenship was in a land that they could see afar off, that they were persuaded of, that they embraced as a living hope within them. For they that say such things declare that they seek a country. The country that they sought was not a country of this earth. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. How I thank God for that city, and how I thank God for the marvelous promises that he has given us. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let me show you what God has for the prophets, what God has for his children, and in particular what God has for those children who endure the persecutions and the false testimony and the evil sayings against them all the days of their life. If you believe 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, you will bear up well under persecutions. If not, your life will be a maze of worry, nervous tension, and uncertainty. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. If you believe 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, you will bear up well under persecutions. If not, your life will be a maze of worry, nervous tension, and uncertainty. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. I have now concluded the Beatitudes. But I have a footnote or two that I would like to make concerning the Beatitudes. And I would like to ask you, have you given yourself to the Lord? Child of God, have you ever really, truly, since salvation, just given yourself to the Lord? I began with the Beatitudes and read in Matthew 5, 1 and 2. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, the disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, the disciples were the first New Testament church. I cannot positively, conclusively prove that these Beatitudes were given to the first New Testament church alone. But I am convinced they were given to save people, and I will die believing that God gave them to his first New Testament church. With that deeper conviction within myself, I am convinced that God means for every church member to understand the difference between a disciple and a believer. And seeing the multitudes, there were great multitudes of people that followed Jesus, and many of them were believers, and I will see many of them in heaven. But Jesus went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, the disciples, saying, whether right or wrong, I will die believing that the Beatitudes, these teachings, were given to the first New Testament church. And seeing the multitudes, there were many that followed Jesus, great multitudes, and among them there were many believers. A believer is recorded as being someone who is pistuo. Pistuo is one who has been persuaded to rely upon or trust Christ. The word that is most frequently used for believer is pistuo, and it means one who has been persuaded to rely upon or trust Christ. Not all believers are disciples, but all disciples are believers. All disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, the Beatitudes are for those who want to be disciples. Not all believers will become true disciples of Christ. This word for believer is found in Acts 5:14. And believers, pistuo, were the more added to the Lord.